This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Tech, show number 155, recorded on February 13th, 2014. Here at Home Tech, we cover all your favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a very, actually, blustery and warmer Bellevue, Nebraska. We've been complaining about the cold. We were talking about that in the pre-show. Some warm weather on its way. They're talking like 50s by Saturday, so as the show gets released, we'll at least be a little bit warmer here in Nebraska. And, of course, we post the show notes, world-class show notes, each week out at theaverageguy.tv. And actually, we're going to have some really good show notes. Rich's notes on this show alone are dynamite, so you're going to want to get out there and view those. If you have questions, comments, or contributions, you can contact the show. Just email us, Jim at theaverageguy.tv. You can also find me on Twitter. That's real simple, just at Jay Collison. Or you can now call in those questions. We've had that out there for a while. I'd like a few phone calls from you. 402-478-8450. And we'll play those questions right on the show if you want to drop those. Go ahead, just even give me a crank call. That'd be all right. We'd take that. We're now using Chatwing for chat, and you can log in with Facebook, Twitter, Google. Instagram just got activated this week, so if you want to use your Instagram account, you can do that as well. Yahoo is on there, or a Chatwing, or just a guest account. Either one of those work. We also have a Live2 option, so you can go to theaverageguy.tv/live2. That fits a tablet device a little bit better, so iPad or Surface device if you want to do it that way. And we also have a chat-only page just at theaverageguy.tv/chat. Should work on just about any device now, although not all mobile devices are supported in both chat mode and live mode at the same time. But you give that a try. Let me know how it goes. All navigation is now found in the upper right-hand corner at theaverageguy.tv. Tonight, a little bit of a new milestone. We're trying out Spreaker and Mixler in our live format, so you can go to Spreaker.com or Mixler.com. You don't have to do that. If you're sitting here watching the YouTube video, that's fine. You're going to get it that way. I want to try those mediums as some streaming-only options for some folks who maybe can't get to the YouTube video. We're going to try those for the podcast that I do at Gallup as well. That's really kind of why I'm testing them here, to see how well they'll work out. Then we'll move those over to the Gallup podcast, and so we're giving those a try. All that stuff is found out over at theaverageguy.tv/live. All right, we got a great show tonight. We have Amber Gott back. We haven't seen Amber, and I think it hasn't quite been a year, Amber, but I think it's been maybe close to a year. Welcome back to Home Tech. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you. It's great to be back. I think it has been a year and a half. So,
has it been that long?
It's been a while.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's good. So you'll have lots to talk about when you come back on. It's funny how time flies. The last time we interviewed you, we did it on Rich's Random Podcast Generator, and we did it with Rich O'Neill. Rich, welcome back to the show as well.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Amber, glad to have you back. I got questions, and it's good to see you.
Send them to me. It's great to be back. Thank you.
We're grateful that LastPass has some continuity. You know, sometimes those companies don't have continuity in those spaces, and you've been around. How long have you been working for LastPass now?
I've been working with them for pretty close to 4 years, and our six-year anniversary is coming up in April.
Well, that's great. That's great, yeah. And sometimes those positions, it's not that way. It was nice when I pinged you and I said, hey, are you still there, and can you come on the show and talk to us? You were more than willing to do that, and so I appreciate you coming out. Hey, let's dig right in. Folks have come to hear about LastPass. So in a year and a half, and I'm a little embarrassed it's been that long, but in a year and a half, what's changed? What are some new features that have come up out there? What are you guys excited about? Let's back up the truck, and what's in the change log?
Sure. Well, I think the biggest thing was in November 2013, we launched LastPass 3.0. So there was a lot of build up to that release. It included some great new features, but it also included a pretty big user interface overhaul. So, you know, if you've been using the product for a few years, you would have noticed that a lot of the menu options changed, the focus of some of the user actions changed. So just in general, that was massive. You know, that was all hands on deck for months. It's a big project. We're really proud with the way it turned out. And we're kind of moving into phase two now, I guess, if you will, taking the results of the 3.0 launch and, you know, figuring out what the next goals are going to be.
Amber, what's it take, and you can share round numbers with me if you want, but what is it, how big is LastPass from an employee standpoint, and how many developers do you throw at a project like that to get something like that done?
Well, I think any developer will tell you that there's never enough developers. It never hurts to have more. But we have a team of about 25 right now, and half of that is developers. The rest is split between other functions in the company. And we actually did engage an outside design firm to help us as well. So they were great with helping with direction and some design input. So it was a collaborative project. It was big. And our developers definitely were working hard on it. So I wouldn't have hurt to have more developers, that's for sure.
Well, it's always nice to have more. I hope you throw them a big party when you guys release and went live.
We actually did throw a big party. We went on our company ski trip, and that was our big celebration for LastPass 3.0. It was a fantastic time. So we've definitely taken the opportunity to congratulate ourselves and you know, feel good about our successes.
Where'd you go skiing?
We went to a place in West Virginia.
What mountain?
Called Timberline.
Okay.
It's a smaller mountain in West Virginia, but it's a couple hours from D.C., so really convenient. We had a really great time. It was a good time for our team.
Hey, anytime you can be on the slopes is a good time. That's what I have to say. Anytime you can get away, I imagine, you know, that's a job well done, and it's always nice to kind of get away and do those things. Has anything changed in your pricing model since the last time we talked? Are you guys, from a consumer standpoint, kind of go over a little bit? If I know there's some free options and there's some paid options, talk a little bit about for the average consumer.
So the majority of our features remain free. That's the way it was when we founded the product, and we've really tried to stick around that mission because I think, like I mentioned, you know, the last time I was on here, it's just really important for us to get the message out there that security can be easier. There are tools to help you with your passwords. There's tools to help you improve your online security, and we want to make that available to as many people as possible. And so most features are still free. We've continued to add to the free feature set. Since the last time we talked, we've added more multi-factor authentication options. We've added more security features for, you know, weak passwords, duplicate passwords, breach alerts, a lot of great things to help even just our free users get more out of the product. And then premium remains $12 per year, so that still unlocks unlimited access to mobile devices and also offers a few additional features for our advanced users. And then Enterprise, which is our business-focused product, is still $24 per user per year. So those levels have all remained the same. Our mission around the product has remained the same. Just with 3.0, we really drove hard with user interface redesign and making sure we're putting the usability of the product first and putting the message first.
So what kind of feedback have you gotten? You know, you're on the forefront of user feedback because you live in that space, you deal with the users, you're on Twitter with them and such. What kind of feedback are you getting from the users, and what are they really liking? Let's talk about that. What are some of the features when you went live and they said, oh man, this is great? Talk about a little bit about those.
I think we really focused on scaling back some of the ways that LastPass interacted with you. I think before we could be a little over responsive, so maybe seeing notifications when you didn't need to, just because we wanted to overcompensate. And with the interface redesign, we were able to really eliminate a lot of those notifications. So one of the greatest points of feedback that we got, users were just so happy to see, you know, okay, LastPass is there when I need it, but it kind of gets out of the way and lets me do my thing after that. I would say that was probably one of the biggest points. And also, people were just happy to see LastPass be a little more pretty. I think over the years, the biggest feedback we'd heard from users was, you have a great product, it's so functional, it's so technologically sound, but could you just make it a little prettier? Can you keep up with, you know, the way that the software consumers are used to, you know, the way it's changing? And I think we achieved that. And a lot of our users were just really grateful and really enjoy the product more because of it.
One of my favorite features of the product has always been the secure note feature. Any changes to that feature? Is it still exactly the same as it's been?
It's pretty much the same. We continue to add more templates. So, you know, we want people to be able to store even more types of data. You know, obviously you can store your sites, you can store passwords. The great thing with the secure notes is you can add attachments, you can store a lot of different types of data, you can store images, documents. So the focus there has just been, are we giving users every opportunity to store the things that they need for their online life and their offline life?
Yeah, that's a great feature. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's a nice place to be able to store those notes very quickly and syncs across devices. I noticed I'm in Chrome right now, and there's a little note that says it highly recommends that I install the LastPass plugin. So for the other browsers, so I assume there's a Chrome plugin that increases some functionality. Are there other plugins across other browsers as well?
Yeah, and we highly recommend that you install the extension on any browser you're going to be using. That's really what allows LastPass to communicate with the browser. It allows it to detect what you're doing on the page. So the extension is pretty much what our functionality revolves around. Once you log into the extension, then it can fill your sites, offer to save your sites, generate passwords. That's the core of the functionality. So if you go to LastPass.com and, you know, you log into your online vault through our website, you still have access to your data, but some of the core functionality is lost, and that's why we show the warning, you know, please go ahead and install so you can take advantage of that functionality.
Yeah. No, very good. And then when you talk about so one of the things, and Rich is keyed up to ask you some real technical stuff. So we're gonna dive a little bit.
Well, I'm not gonna bomb it with questions, but I'm gonna bring up a couple of things.
Yeah, let me ask you first though. One of the things I notice as I've been using LastPass is that if I go to a site, and Dropbox is notorious for this, where they have several different pages that I can access LastPass through, and so it always seems like then I load up, I've got four or five different Dropbox, and I was going to show my screen, and I thought maybe that's not such a good idea.
Oh, Jim, you're stealing my thunder.
Oh, am I? Okay.
Yeah.
So, Rich, let's dive a little bit into that. Rich, you've got some more stuff written out about that. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's one of the things where I work. We have, I'm required to have two sets of credentials to log in, and depending on the subdomain, but LastPass kind of keys off the domain, so it says, look at it. You got four or five different sites saved in here with the same domain, you know, even if they're separate. And so I don't know why sometimes it gets it, but sometimes it gets a little confused. And by confused, I mean instead of auto login, which is a feature I like to use whenever possible, it'll just show me a little number in the corner, like it might say 5. So then I click on it and I get the domain. I was looking around for that, looking around for a solution to that, and what I came across, because we're doing this show tonight, I said, well, I better do some homework, and what I came up with is something we were talking about beforehand, was URL rules, and with URL rules, you can go into your LastPass account, you go into settings, you go to edit the settings tab, and then you find a tab called URL rules all the way to the right. And what that lets you do is it'll let you specify an exact domain. So it could be a subdomain, but once you put that in there, then LastPass will say, you know, hey, don't bring up any other domain. Give this guy exactly, you know, the username, password for this exact domain. And that clears up the problem of multiple, subdomains on a main site.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When you employ URL rules, it pretty much lets you say, I want you to show me exact matches only. Mm-hmm. So when you go back to the site, if you are on a subdomain, you're only going to see that exact match for that subdomain. We consider that a more advanced option, because most users we find may get confused if they are on a subdomain, but they just want to see their Dropbox login or what have you, and they don't know where to look for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to balance some of that usability, but definitely you can go into your LastPass vault, open your settings, change, set some domains as URL rules, and with the exact matching, you'll reduce. I think Google domains is another one where people start to rack up a lot and, want to start separating them out. So it is a handy feature. We have another option, advanced option, equivalent domains, which goes in the other direction, where let's say you have two completely different sites, but you want LastPass to know that it's actually the same login credential across them.
Right.
And setting multiple domains, multiple URLs as equivalent allows LastPass to fill them without pausing.
And some of them LastPass populates themselves, right?
Yes.
I mean, but other sites get in there, and how would that happen? Am I wrong about that? Is it only LastPass that ever populates that equivalent?
So we add those. There is a whole default site set, and we add those server side. So when you download and install, that comes pre-installed because you know we've recognized that those need to be equivalent for most consumers. But then you can go in and edit and add more as you browse. You know, if it's particular to your work environment or you know what have you. So the set that you see when you load, you know, when you load your settings from your vault and you click on equivalent domains, the ones that are preloaded are just ones that we know should be equivalent
right.
based on usage, and right. we put those in there.
Okay. Quick question about that. Mm-hmm. I was looking at them tonight, and I noticed a couple in there, and I thought, I don't know if I want these linked or in here or not. I wasn't sure. So I took them out. But I think the ones that I somehow got in there, I don't remember using that tab. Is there another way that I can say, LastPass will say, do you want to, you know, use these as equivalents? Do you know?
Not that I'm aware of for an end user. With our enterprise product, we do allow different customization options with that. Yeah. But as a personal user, I'm not sure there is another way to enable it.
Yeah, I didn't know if there was a way. Maybe you were entering data, it might have said, hey, you know, you've got other sites, maybe you can consider this the equivalent.
The one that you do set as you go. So if you're going to a site where you know you never want LastPass to remember it, I mean,
right.
for whatever reason,
right.
we do have this other feature called never URL. So I know it can get confusing, mm-hmm. you know, equivalent domains, URL rules, never URLs, but never URLs is when you just say, LastPass, don't do anything on this page,
yeah.
and when you set that as you go along, and then those get added, you know, to the page in settings, and those can be managed, you know, deleted from the URL from the never URLs tab. So the combination right. of those three options really lets you get a little more granular when it comes to telling LastPass how to behave on different sites.
Well, yes, it does, and I'm really psyched that I just found that. I'm going to take the other side of this, whether you don't want to tell people about this. I actually think you should tell people about it, as far as the URL rules, I think it would be nice because I actually didn't know about this for a while, and, you know, I don't know why I didn't look it up. Maybe I was being lazy, but I was just kind of living with it for a while. Until until tonight when I said I got to figure out this thing before I get on the air. I think it would be nice, and if LastPass could say, hey, you've got other domains, do you want us to, you know, specifically log in with these credentials? I don't know how many people have the situation where I have where one domain where I've got two different sets of credentials depending on subdomain,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it would be handy.
No, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, it's good feedback and focusing a little bit more on how options are presented and how is that content communicated to the user. You know, those are things that actually are continue to be focuses of ours going forward. Marketing, you know, I work on the marketing team. That's something that we're, you know, challenged with. You know, we have users who are at different points when they come to LastPass. Some really don't know what a password manager is and they're starting with, you know, from scratch, and then we have other mm-hmm. users, you know, and I would throw you a little bit more in the advanced category where, you know, you're a lot more comfortable with manipulating this data, so how do we get those advanced features in front of you and make sure LastPass is working the way you need it to? So, you know, I think, you know, it's a great point, and I really hope that going forward that's something we can, you know, handle better, content that we can,
it's just a suggestion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a suggestion, and I would say about that, you don't necessarily have to say, so, okay, you want to do it? Open up this tab, just mm-hmm. automatically do it for them, and then, I don't know, maybe leave a message saying, if you need to get there, this is how, you know, but just do it for them, you know, yeah.
Rich, you had another question. Why don't we just, while you're at it, why don't you just dig right in?
Well, so Actually, it wasn't a question. I don't have really too many questions tonight. It was more like I just wanted to bring up something called LastPass Sentry that is a service. I'm going to call it a security service that LastPass offers. And it's what it is that LastPass pulls a list of breached, tell me where I, if I get any of this wrong, breached password, email addresses, combinations. And they pull this list from a site called PwnList, PwnList. And so what they do is they, LastPass takes all of their customers' email addresses associated with their master account. You know, their LastPass knows about that email address. And it looks at the database, and if it finds that customer's email address, it sends them an email. The customer gets an email saying, hey, you know, this is what we found. This is, you know, what this is all about. We strongly suggest you change your password for this one account, and then we suggest you go through all your passwords and look and see if you use that password anywhere else or if you have the same email address and you're using that password again somewhere else. So they kind of are watching out for you in the background, and I think that's a really good idea in this day and age because it's just getting a little crazy out there.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, since we last talked, there have been some unprecedented breaches, and, you know, the Target breach, the Adobe breach, and there's no signs that this trend is changing. And so, you know, consumers need all the tools and resources they can to, one, educate themselves, but also, two, make change and make change fast. And, you know, when we were actually the first partner for this PwnList database program that they launched, and you know, it's just brought tremendous value to our user base. We call it LastPass Sentry, like you said, right. And there's two ways that users encounter it within LastPass. We send automated ones when we do recognize that their LastPass account email address was part of a breach, but then the other time we do a scrub is if you use our security challenge tool. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with that
tool. I am, yeah. I had quite a bad score the first time I ran. Maybe not that bad. I was like down in the 40% or something like that, but I got up to like 85, 90.
There you go.
Amber, we probably have some new listeners since the last time you spoke. Talk a little bit about what that does, that scrub does.
So the LastPass security challenge is a feature that we've had for a long time. It's tremendously valuable. In your LastPass account, once you log in, you just click the LastPass icon menu. Under the Tools submenu, you'll see the LastPass security check option. And when you click that and you run it, you get a full page categorizing all your passwords and basically performs a local scrub and sees, okay, how many duplicates do you have? How weak are your passwords? And then it actually ranks weakest to strongest. And so you pretty much get a whole readout of your vault on this page and a very comprehensive overview of how you're doing with your passwords. And then we also keep track of your history so we can tell you, you know, over time, have you gotten better? Have you improved your passwords or have they gotten worse? And we can just give you a snapshot, you know, how many sites do you have in your vault? How many, you know, just a lot of data around your passwords. And then we give you a rank and a percentage score. So I know Rich said he had 40%, which is, that's a little on the weaker side.
Yeah.
She called you weak.
No, listen, that's fine. I've heard other people do much worse.
Yes, I have seen much worse.
Yeah.
But if you climbed to 80%, you know, that's fantastic. Obviously, you were motivated to fix some of those passwords. You were motivated to follow some of the better practices.
You guys made it easy because in the results, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, there are hyperlinks so that you can go right to your site, your stored site, and change it.
Exactly. So if we say this password is super, super, super weak, you know, right there on the results page, like you said, you launched the site, you just generate a new one right then and there, change it, and you're done.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
So, going back to LastPass Sentry, building off of that security challenge, when you run it locally, we actually do a full scrub of your vault. You know, we perform all those checks locally, so you know we're preserving your encryption key. You know, there's nothing exchanged with LastPass by you doing so. But the scrub is performed locally, and then we say, are any of the accounts in your vault known to have been involved in the breaches? And if they have them, we send you an email alert and we say, hey, this account may have been affected. Here's what we recommend you do. So that's the other way that users get value out of LastPass Sentry.
I didn't know that. That is very cool. One thing we probably want to mention about LastPass, which is the one of the, you know, the main feature about it, is that LastPass itself never ever gets our passwords and usernames in the clear. They always get a hashed version of it, an encrypted version, and the decryption always occurs on our machines, on our PCs and laptops. So for people who are worried about all these breaches of people trying to keep databases secure, target in the cloud, you know, it doesn't matter, because if LastPass, heaven forbid, ever had a problem, it would be an exercise in cracking passwords, one at a time forever. So good luck to them. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Amber, there was a question about, I guess some of our listeners have seen maybe some phishing or some mimicking emails that look like they're coming from LastPass. That, you know, because once they get your master password, right? I mean, once they get your master account password, is there anything you guys can do about that? I assume you're aware of it, but is there anything you guys can do about that, or what are you doing to prevent it?
Well, first, I would put it out there that if you ever see anything that looks even mildly suspicious, please send it to us, because we definitely want to analyze it. Security@lastpass.com is where we direct anyone with a security report. So we obviously welcome anything suspicious that you see having to do with our service. But what LastPass will do, you know, we talked a little bit ago about domain matching and looking for matches, you know, for the login functionality. If you launch from a link and it opens a site and LastPass doesn't autofill, that could be an opportunity for you to stop and look at the page that you just opened, because LastPass actually won't autofill if it doesn't recognize a good match. So if the URL is wrong, if the login user, you know, the login username and password fields look off, LastPass will actually stop. So if a site that normally works without a problem suddenly stops functioning, that might be a really good indication for you to, you know, take a step back, look at the URL, is there anything off, are there misspellings, and then maybe just try manually launching the site yourself. We have a lot of precautions built around protecting the master password for your account, but that's another reason to look into multi-factor authentication. If you're ever concerned about keylogging or phishing or some of these other threats that would try to compromise your master password, multi-factor authentication is a great way to add another step that would stop anyone who has your master password. So basically, multi-factor authentication just requires another piece of data to be entered before login is granted. And so sometimes that's an app verification or a verification app that you run on your smartphone. Sometimes that's a physical device that you run from the computer, like a YubiKey. And so that combination can really help you lock down your account.
I'm staring at my monitor over here. I just ran the security check, and it must have done the comparison, and it actually found something.
Okay, so it said one of your accounts may have been affected.
Okay, so I'm trying to understand what happened here, but it has my my girlfriend's email address, so it must have looked at. I'm not sure why I've got.
So
maybe
do
they check secure notes too? Does that go into secure notes and see what I've gotten there? So I'm trying to think where her email address would be.
Well, if you have any shared accounts, or if you've ever, you know, logged in and then saved something with her email address, I don't think it checks secure notes.
I'll have to find out what that's
but
all
I can
about.
Double check. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Feel free to send me those follow up details.
I will. Yeah, I will. I'll check it out and find out what's going on, but oh boy.
I think if you press OK to send the alert, the email that will get sent to her will have more details on, you know, which hack she may have been a part of.
Okay. I'm actually going to take a screenshot of this with
all right, great.
A snipping tool, and I'll have that. Okay, good.
Amber, cool. great tip, by the way, on that. If it doesn't, if you're using LastPass, faithfully, and you go to a site and it doesn't autofill, I never really thought of thinking it that way. That is just a nice way to kind of prevent getting. I was coming at it from phishing emails that are being sent, on behalf of LastPass, but you kind of addressed it. You kind of addressed it. Phishing emails that in general, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we see, that's just a great tip all the way around, because that is, that is one of those things that folks you can hit very easily, and get tripped up on. So when we talk about sharing, have there been any? If you're sharing accounts, or, and I don't, I'm not phrasing this right, but sharing isn't the right word, but. From my standpoint, we talked about this last time. I've got my account. I've got all my stuff locked up in it, and I, I go away. I take a long vacation in a deep hole, right? And that stuff goes with me. How does somebody get that? If my wife needs that, because you guys are super secure. So, what are some tips to kind of prevent those kinds of things from happening, where everything's now locked up inside my LastPass account?
No, that's a great question. It is something that's definitely come up before. It's good to be thinking about that. There's a few different ways you could handle it. There are some great features built into LastPass that might be able to help. We, as part of 3.0, launched a family shared folder, and so with that, you can have multiple LastPass users who are either free or premium users. You have to be premium to create the folder, but you can share with free users. And with the shared family folder, multiple people can be managing the folder. So multiple people can be adding accounts. They can be accessing those joint accounts. So for example, my husband and I, we have joint bank accounts. We have joint bills to pay. And since we both need it, they live in the shared folder. So if something were to happen to me, he would maintain access to a lot of that stuff just because it lives between our two accounts. So that might be something to consider, if you have a spouse, if you have a loved one who you do share a lot of things with, maybe the shared folder is a good way to go. It's a great feature in general, just for sharing accounts.
And did you say that came new on 3.0 then?
That's correct.
Okay,
yeah, that was
good.
Part of
so that is a news. I thought I'd seen that, and I thought, oh, maybe I didn't. Oh, I better just ask you. So you can drop some of those shared things in there and get access
to
that.
Yeah, and it's... it's a lot easier than we have a sharing feature where you can do one-off shares, you share one site with one person, but the great thing about the folder is, once you have a few sites that you need to share with one person or maybe two people, the shared folder feature just streamlines it so much, and you can drag and drop out of it really easily. You can save to it from the get-go, so it's a lot easier, and I definitely recommend people check that out.
And is that something that if I'm on a team, maybe across companies, and we have some shared resources that they can, and they're using this, they can log in and we can share that information so everybody has access to those accounts?
I mean, if you're an under 5-person team, I think that that's realistic. But, I think that for over 5 people, you really would move more towards the LastPass Enterprise product, just because you get unlimited shared folders, you get, you can add users and remove users a lot more easily. Then you kind of get more into the management oversight, and with LastPass Enterprise, you can also enforce security policies. So if you're just having a shared folder with another person, as a premium user or as a free user, you're not going to be able to mandate that they use good passwords or that they use the sites in the right way. When you get to the enterprise level, you can actually start telling people that they have certain security standards to follow. So I think it just kind of depends on the needs of the team.
Sure. Yeah, no, good to know. I'm thinking through, kind of thinking out loud with some of these things on how I would use it. I know you've always had some kind of credit monitoring features in there as well. Is that still, I haven't used that at all. How does that work, and why would I want to take advantage of it?
Well, it's really easy to get set up with it. Really, all you do is go into LastPass and you create a form fill profile. So if you've done any online shopping with LastPass, you probably already have an online, you probably already have a form fill profile. All it is just, you go to your LastPass icon, you go to the fill form profile menu, mm-hmm. add a profile, and you just list, your contact information, maybe your address, your email address, anything that you may use as you're signing up for something or as you're checking out online. And then the credit monitoring alerts are built into that. So when you complete a profile, if you're in the United States, it's only available for people in the United States currently, you can check the credit monitoring option, and then you'll just get a confirmation dialog, and once it's enabled, it's active. And from then forward, with the free alerts, we just send you a notification if we, if our partner detects anything suspicious, you know, that may have caused a change in your credit report. The free alerts, what I say for the free alerts, it's just a great thing to have in the background, so it can pick up something, and then maybe that's the time when you request your free annual credit report, or maybe that's the time where you do upgrade for a service and look at your credit history and try to, you know, if you didn't make a change that may have triggered that, that's the time when you want to investigate. So for me, you know, I just tell people it's great to just check it, turn it on, leave it running. Obviously, it's secure, you know, within LastPass. And then that way, if something happens, you're ready. You're going to know, you can take action then. But it's not something you're going to have to worry about until that time.
But is it not like a LifeLock replacement, or is it just kind of an early warning device for something like that?
It's more of an early detection system with the free alerts. We do have a premium service where if you upgrade, it is more along the lines of the, you know, credit score services that are on the market. That service is $9.99 a month, and you have access to your three credit scores. You get a more detailed history. So if you have if using our early warning system, you know, using our free alerts, if you get something suspicious, you can upgrade at that time and then take advantage of the more advanced, you know, fraud protection, identity protection features. But I think, you know, the free alerts are a great thing just to start with and just to have there in your back pocket, especially with all the breaches. There's already been early signs that with potentially, you know, some of the Yahoo breaches, some of the Target breaches, that some of the details have been used to try to gain access to other things. So, you know, a lot of people say, like, oh, it's just my Adobe account, I don't have to worry about it. Well, it's not that many steps between your Adobe account and your email account, which pretty much holds the key to your online life, and maybe some of more of your critical financial assets. And that's where, you know, having it all locked into this system, having an early warning system for identity fraud, that's where these things are critical.
Rich, do you have any other thoughts?
No, I think that was about it for me.
Okay. Amber, what's coming up for you guys? I know I always ask this question every time we have a vendor on. You know, it's coming. We can't talk about it. What can you talk about? What are you excited about coming up in the future? Or, you know, you get an opportunity. Really, our community, the community that listens to this podcast, they're all LastPass lovers, right? Every time we have you guys on or we talk about you, they've been singing the praises in the chat as we've been talking about this. But what kind of things would you tell them? What do we have to look forward to? Or what would you want to say if you had the opportunity?
Well, I mean, I would just say we're not slowing down. We've got some big goals for 2014 and beyond, and, you know, we're really excited to deliver them to our community. I think, like I mentioned earlier, you know, usability, interface, content, delivery, those are all really good, you know, there's a lot of goals around those topics, and I think, you know, just keeping up with the changing landscape, the changing threat landscape. You know, we want to be a part of the ongoing education, so we also have a lot of initiatives there. But we've actually got some releases coming up within the next few weeks, so just stay tuned.
Oh, good. All right. Well, we'll watch for that.
Okay. The teaser.
We'll watch for those coming out, and pretty excited about that. I know we have some very avid LastPass users in our community, and Nathan out there was saying in chat, he couldn't live. I think it was Nathan. Couldn't do what he does without LastPass. So you guys are making an impact. I think it's really important that we figure out ways to manage. It's just like you said, it's getting more and more complex. And for the average guy, right? That's kind of who we're trying to talk to. The average tech guy. It's still even complex for us. And so we appreciate all the work that you guys are doing out there. Amber, thanks for taking a few minutes. It's always good to talk to you. I won't let it be a year and a half before we talk to you again. Let's not do that.
That'd be great.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. We know you're getting a whole bunch of snow, so we hope you keep power overnight and stay warm and all those other good things on the East Coast and enjoy a snow day tomorrow.
All right. Thank you. You guys too. Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Rich. It was great talking to you guys.
You bet. Thanks, Amber. Yep. Great to have you. We'll let you hang up at this point, and you can go get warm somewhere that's you know, away from the snow.
Thanks.
Thanks, Amber. Take care.
Well, that was a good update.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a nice update.
Yeah. I learned a few things, and I got some more homework to do. So.
Well, it just reminds me, every time we do this, I just get paranoid, and I'm like, oh, I got to go.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, I just ran that security check, and now I've got to talk with somebody over here about what's going on, you know. Anyway.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Some other time when she comes back, I want to ask her how I'd like to see them use it at my school. I know the few people that do use it, and unfortunately that is the key word, few, that do use it, they love it. But I've got so many people that are, they're working with computers, but they're not really tech, they have a little bit of tech phobia. And something new like that, it's unfortunately, it's a mindset, and it seems more as a hassle than it is something that can free you up.
I think I've said before too. Hey, do me a favor, throw your lower third back on there, so we have the same size video going on.
Okay.
You never threw that. Well, you never threw it back on. You remember you dropped out and you came back in, and
I never
dropped it back in. That's right. I've had trouble. I sound like my kids. I've had trouble using it at work because they, even though I requested to use it, they're like, no, it's not approved software or not, you know. So I'm interested with this 3.0 release. I haven't tried it since then. Now that they have the browser plugins, I wonder, because I can install browser plugins. So
I don't know how you are using it without a browser plugin. Are you just going to the site?
Yeah, just go to the site. And
The browser plugin. You do want it, yeah.
No, oh, absolutely. No, I know I do. It's been one of those, you know, I go, when I need the password, I go into the vault, and I just pull the password out. And on PCs, on my work PC, right? Now, really, at work, I just access a few accounts that I really know the passwords for. So I just don't even, you know, I just type them in.
And you're not allowed to have it anyway, are you, technically?
Well, I'm not allowed. The last time I tried to install it, it invoked that, hey, you're installing software, right? Version 2, which was, it was probably version 2 the last time.
On the extension, they dinged you for that?
They did ding me for that the last time. And so I'm going to try again, though. Maybe version 3 will be different, and I can give it a try at work. Because that's really the key for me locking it down all the time, is to make sure that I'm using it everywhere, right? I really need to use it everywhere. The other problem I had, and maybe I'll need to dig in, was this subdomain idea, in that I was just getting, you know, for Dropbox, I was getting 8 different entries in, you know, in my vault. And that was not clean to me, and it was...
I hope this helps you. You're going to have to give me some feedback on that,
yeah,
Lenny.
Yeah. No, I'm going to dig in a little bit. I need to get past a few things, but I'm going to re-dig in a little bit. And everything, you know, I'm looking at my vault right now, and everything's in there, right? And I still use it. I just don't use it as well as I could. So I need to do that. I need to run an audit. I really need to go just change it. I need to go through an exercise on a weekend where I let LastPass change all my passwords, and it gets them all unique, and it gets them all strong. Right,
yeah.
And so that would be a good, I think that'd be a good exercise at some point to go through and get that done. So, well, it's great to have Amber back on, and she's delightful, and just does a great job of updating us on all the things that are going on at LastPass. So, Amber, again, if you go back and listen to this, thanks again for joining us. A couple of housekeeping items I want to get to from a podcast standpoint. A lot of things are going on here as we make the transition from home tech to home gadget geeks, and hopefully that will be happening here yet this spring. I've been talking about it for a long time, and as we join the Geeks Network, part of Dave McCabe's Geeks Network, and we'll be joining them over there. All that really means for you, the listener, is that I'll have our link over at thegeeksnetwork.com. So. But we're all part of a community, and we're kind of diving in and working together to increase the tech awareness in our community as well, and so some good opportunities to do that with Dave, and we've been talking about doing that for a long time. One of the things I mentioned last week that I never even got to, the last 2 weeks, I've been in Southern California. I was in Dallas, a trip to Ames, Iowa, and a trip out to Lincoln, Nebraska twice in the last 2 days. Been driving around, haven't had a lot of time to sit at my computer, but 2 weeks ago, Christian and I sat down and recorded the pilot version of Cyber Frontiers, and many of you already listened to it. It had 136 views, and we didn't even advertise it. Nobody knew it was out there for the most part, and the video got a lot of views. So I think some of you have already been out there to watch it, and if you haven't, it's on our YouTube page. Well, it's not really on our YouTube page yet. Well, no, it kind of is. Anyways, doesn't matter. I'm working with Christian to get that pilot released. He's actually got some interviews. He's working on lining up, and he and I are going to record, I think, maybe tomorrow night if he's ready. So we'll do Cyber Frontiers episode number 2, and we'll be getting one set up. Setting up a podcast takes a little bit of time, and I just haven't had time to do it. We need to get it in iTunes and some other things. We're going to release it in this. The reason I'm talking about it now is it's going to show up in this stream. I told you that last week, but you're going to get it as part of a bonus for Home Tech. And so if you want to listen to it, you can. If you don't, just skip past it. That's fine. You'll probably want to hear what Christian has to say. But for the first 5 shows, we're going to drop them into Home Tech. So they'll just automatically show up in your RSS feed. Number 6 will go on its own feed. So actually 1 through 5 and 6 will be in its own RSS feed. So at that point, I will cut it out of Home Tech, and you'll have to subscribe to it on the new Cyber Frontiers page or whatever we decide to do with it. All that stuff is still coming. So watch for Cyber Frontiers coming to a podcast feed near you. Okay, a couple things, go ahead, Rich, you have a question?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if you can wing it or not, but you should try to get a hold of Brian Krebs, interview him, security expert.
Yeah,
He's got some interesting things going on.
Yeah, where's he at, you know?
Geez, you got me. You'd have to do a search for him, but I have a feed. RSS feed that's just searching for any Krebs news.
Sure.
And he's talking with Carters. Those are the guys that steal your credit cards, Russian people, Russian gangs and stuff. And all of the, he's got a lot of interesting things going on. And he's right on the frontier without actually being, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, they mess with him, too. Let me tell you, they are not happy about his reporting. I'll just tell you one thing. Somebody took up a Bitcoin collection and delivered a packet of heroin and then to his doorstep and then called the SWAT team in on him.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
So he leads a pretty exciting life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Christian's kind of, that's his gig, and I'm letting him, so I'll mention Krebs to him and see what he's really going to, we're going to concentrate for the rest of the semester on Maryland folks, University of Maryland. So, yes, okay, so Ken was asking a couple things. Is it a live show? Yes, we do it live. Do we advertise it? A little bit, maybe about 25 minutes before the show, so you want to watch my Twitter account, at Jay Collison, on that, because sometimes we're just, we haven't got into a pattern yet, so we're just kind of doing this to get a few of these started. It's not in the feed yet. You haven't seen, I haven't released version 1 yet. To listen to it, you'd have to follow my recording feed to do that, and that's a little bit of a secret, although it's not really, but it's 136 of you found it. It's on YouTube. So search Cyber Frontiers. Go to YouTube and search Cyber Frontiers. You'll find it out there. I've got the most recent, the raw version is out there for you to listen to. So I didn't do too many edits. So it won't be that much different when we go to the live version. So Ken, all that is out there. I have not dropped it in the feed yet. Okay. So a couple things. The Tech Scholarship Fund is just humming away. You guys are doing awesome. Appreciate that. Got to do a little bit of a retraction. Way back in the day, one of the listeners asked me to set up a Amazon.theaverageguy.tv link for the Amazon affiliate link. You know, typically I like theaverageguy.tv/Amazon. That's the one I send you guys to all the time. Amazon.theaverageguy.tv is actually a subdomain, and Amazon does not like that. We found out, I was talking about that on Ask the Podcast Coach, so I do an Ask the Podcast Coach show every Saturday morning, 9:30 Central, over at schoolofpodcasting.com/live. Dave Jackson and I are on that show. And I was talking about that as a tip, and we had a listener actually write in and say, you can't do that. If you go to Amazon's Terms and conditions in section 2, letter G, it says you cannot make a subdomain out of any spelling or misspelling of the word Amazon, which I think is totally funny. So
what do you need to use?
You need to use the averageguy.tv/Amazon.
Okay, well, that's what I'm using, so
yeah,
I'm good to
most
go.
People are. Most yeah. people are. It's just one particular listener had asked me to create the other subdomain, mm-hmm. and I did, and it required a subdomain redirect from my Hover account, and I promptly deleted that. I don't want to get in trouble with Amazon. Mm-hmm. So
nope.
If you've been doing it that way, in fact, John Greenaway wrote, and actually he recently moved. John's been a longtime listener, moved from the East Coast to the West Coast recently. Has been a little bit behind on the podcast, but he says, by the way, I dropped the tag Amazon link into my wife's computer Chrome browser bookmark bar and told her never to type in Amazon.com and always use the bookmark link. And he says, so I'm trying to help in that way. So, John, I appreciate it. It's a good tip, right? Help because mm-hmm. you can't control, right? So if you're buying from Amazon or your spouse or significant other is buying from Amazon, make a little link for him, theaverageguy.tv/Amazon. And it continues to do really well. John had a great idea in that he wants, we talked a couple weeks back about maybe having a shared product. Rich, did you get in on that conversation at all where I buy something and someone reviews it for a month or so? And then
you were telling me about it, yeah.
Then their responsibility is when they're done, package it up and send it to the next person, and we keep track of that all on the Facebook page. Well, he wanted to look at, and I'm going to drop the link for this so you guys in chat. If you're listening live, you'll just have to go out to the show notes, the world-class show notes, as I say. And you'll have to look at this link. But he had this great point. So recently he inherited a whole bunch of old videotapes. And still has a VCR, but really has, you know, who wants to watch?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who wants to do that? And guys, we're getting dangerously close to a day when VCRs are not going to be around anymore. And I know I still have one, and I probably still have a few video, but for about $80, there's an Elgato, I think that's how you pronounce it, Elgato, Elgato video capture device. And they're still making these, so it's not like this is unique, but this is one fairly simple, fairly small, I think easy to ship around. Typically, when you need something like this, you only need it for a month, right? You're going to mm-hmm. plug it in, and you're going to spend some weekends ripping some video to your computer, making it, and that this video capture device comes with the software and everything you need to be able to do that.
So what are you going to do, start a lending library here?
I think so, yeah. I'm kind of thinking about it. Yeah, I thought so.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, so what I'd have John do is I'd buy it and ship it to John, and we'll have him keep it for a month or two, write up a little review on it, and then we'll create a little list on the Facebook group. So go to facebook.com/groups/theaverageguy. We'll keep it all out there. And if you want it, you'll put your name on the list, and when John is done with it, he will package it up and mail it to you, and then you can with the software, and then you can use it, and we'll just
it's like a chain letter.
Yeah, we'll just keep shipping it around until the thing breaks. Right. You know.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's a great idea.
Yeah, so we're going to give that a try. So
don't try that with the Droba because it's going to stay right here.
It's yeah.
Oops, I don't know. I don't know. I couldn't get to that list of who I'm sending it to next.
I thought about Droba or a QNAP or Synology box. But
don't do the Synology either.
They're horrible.
That would definitely
expensive.
Stay here. Yeah.
Man, you had the eye of the tiger there for a second. That was awesome.
Oh, good.
So it looks like Kevin Schoonover is coming in from 30,000 feet, 35,000 feet. He must be coming back from some trip. Kev, you never know where Kevin is at. So, Kevin, are you listening live as well? You're hearing the audio, or are you just in the chat? I know sometimes. Okay. So Ken says yes. I think we're gonna do this. So. Watch for the Facebook group. I'll be creating a lending library, list for these various items, and you can start putting your name on it. And if you get it, you know, I'm going to ask you to kind of get right to it so you can get it used and move it on. But I know I've got some videos that I'd like to get converted onto digital and be done with that. And this would be a great way when you only, you know, this for this kind of equipment, we can move it around. And I'd love to use those scholarship dollars to be able to get this done. So we'll give it, Rennie says any TV card will capture a VCR. So, yeah, great. But maybe you don't have one. maybe you don't want to go out and buy one, and we can just kind of ship this around to each other. And I'll probably have to limit it, and Rennie, sorry about this. I'll probably have to limit this to the U.S. only, because it just gets pretty cost prohibitive to ship that. Even to Canada gets a little dicey. So for now, we'll say U.S. only, unless I get a gigantic Australian following, and we can ship it around there. So what do you think, Rich?
I think it's great.
All right, we'll give it a shot.
Yeah, very cool.
We'll give it a shot.
What else do you got? I know you have something else you want to talk about.
Yeah, let's see. Let me just check the other housekeeping items. I got that. I talked about that. We talked about that. Let's see. Where are we at? 8:54. So we got a few more minutes. One of the things I wanted to talk about a little bit more is just revisit OpenDNS as a service. Rich, have you ever used OpenDNS?
I am using it right now. And that's about it. I use it because they check domains for problems, you know, like hacker domains, and they kind of do a little filtering by default. But I don't use it for any other, I don't use it for any filtering or anything like that. I use it because it's an advantage that they do a little extra security with it. So
yeah, no, and they do lot of extra. For me, I've been using OpenDNS for a long time. Let me back up the truck a little bit, because we've had quite a few new listeners lately, and so not everybody knows the story. But you know, I have 5 kids, and I've got 4 boys, and I've always been worried about what their internet surfing habits are. And as they've gotten older, I actually and real quick, hold on. Ken is looking for the link. Ken, I actually put the link in. There's an Amazon link above in the chat if you want to click on and take a peek at that. So just if you're trying to track that down, there's an Amazon link I put in chat if you guys want to go out and take a look at what that Elgato TV capture card is. There we go. Rich did it for me. Thanks, Rich. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, we used a product called Enuff, E-N-U-F-F. It was a client-side piece of software that actually kind of monitored and gave the kids, because we had one computer, and I had 4 boys, and they all wanted time on it. And I needed a timer at the time, because they would fight over that thing. You know, they just loved playing on it. And it was actually great, because they could get more time for doing more chores. It was kind of a pay-per-performance. Type deal, so more chores got you more time on the computer, and that just worked out really, really well. Well, as the computer started getting more distributed, as each kid, I told them as they worked in the summer, they bought their own computer, I would not put a timer on it. It would be their computer. I had a need to lock down a little bit more of what they were doing, just their surfing habits. I wanted to make sure I couldn't watch them all the time, nor did I want to. And so we went with a product actually at the time, and I still use it, called K9. Let's see. Rich just sent me a note. Enuff is currently a suspended site because they haven't paid. I'm not sure that's around anymore either. I'm not recommending that at this point, although if it's still working, it worked for us. But
K9, huh?
Yeah, K9 is the other one, and they're actually a division of Blue Coat, which is a big security firm. Mm-hmm. With K9 software, again, it's client-side. You can install that and put a username and password in, and then it will lock down. It'll lock down the PC, or at least filter. Let's just say that. It'll filter the PC. Mm-hmm. You can cut out, add. My wife likes it because there's a little web advertisement check, and it just wipes out all the ads. She doesn't see anything when it comes to, you know, from an ad.
Are you still using it?
My wife still uses it. Yeah, she likes it.
What does it cost?
It costs nothing. It's $0.
Oh, really?
Yeah, $0, ooh, 0 cents. Yeah.
Okay.
And so, yeah, Tony just said stack ranking in your house. Yeah, we kind of do. I kind of manage the kids that way. So the K9 tool works really well. In fact, I just put a new PC in for her a couple months ago, and she was like, hey, can you make sure K9 gets back on there when we're done? You know, she's obviously not worried about her surfing habits, so that's not a big deal. But it does kind of protect her. They've got some phishing and stuff built into it as well, and some stuff that gets updated. And so it has been good. And that's if you have an individual PC, you know, you can let sites through, and you can. They've got some large categories of things that you can check, that, you know, tobacco and firearms and lingerie and those kinds of things, if you want to be that way. You know, I'm if you choose to keep it open on your side, that's up to you. I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't. This is not about filtering or about restricting or those kinds of things. This is a choice I made for my family. So just spare me your email of censoring, okay? So because I know I'm going to get those. Don't, how could you censor?
Did he say, email me and bomb me about censoring? Yes, I'll do that right now.
So a couple years back then, I kind of came across OpenDNS. And really, OpenDNS is a, you know, that you, instead of at the client level, you set your router, or you can do it at the PC level, you set your router DNS to 208.67.222.222 or 208.67.220.220. It redirects your traffic away from your ISP, and it actually goes out to open, you know, the DNS provider then for you, the routing for all the internet goes through them first. And a couple years ago, when ISPs were not providing very, very, you know, very good internet service, right, sometimes the bottleneck was your IP. OpenDNS said, hey, we've got super fast DNS servers and we're going to help you go faster. And they cache some websites and some of those other things. And then they started getting into the filter, or to the kind of filtering, I guess is the right word, but they got into blocking and phishing sites and, you know, those kinds of things. And so if you've got, like in our house now, man, I got tons of PCs, and so instead of trying to make sure every single one of them is locked down, I can just use OpenDNS to do that.
At the
router level. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So if you go to opendns.com, that's the right way to do that, and then you set up an account there, you can log in. I'll log into my account here. I'll show you real quick.
Yeah, and I'm going to say you don't even need an account just to point to it with the IP.
No, you're right, and you'll get if you want to use their servers, and you'll get some protection as well from, you know, the real protection I'm interested in. At this point in time, you know, my kids are old enough that it's their choice. So I still block it internally just because it's the right thing to do for me. But I'm not too worried about what they're doing out there for the most part. That's kind of their choice at the age they're at. But what it does block for me is some of the phishing and some of the malicious sites. And if they come across, they crawl. And if they come across sites that have been compromised, they block those, right? You don't want to go. Mm-hmm. You don't want anybody going to those sites, right, if they've been compromised. And so gives me the ability. Let me see if I can share my screen here real quick. And so if you're listening to the audio version of this, you might want to head over and check out our YouTube page. But this is kind of some recent activity. You can kind of see in the house what, you know, you can see this morning and then all afternoon there's no activity, and then everybody gets home and the activity kind of picks up. But this is recent activity on our network, things that are going on here, unique domains and unique IPs. We just have one IP, so that stays pretty static. But you can drill in if you like. You know, this is total number of requests, so you can dig into these stats if you want. There is unique, total unique by domain, unique IPs, domains, block domains, which I probably shouldn't show, and request types. We'll do that. So you can go in there. And in this case, there's just some basic stats that come along with it if you want to dig in and see what's kind of going on in your network. I'll be honest with you, I don't even check these anymore for the most part. I don't, if I want to go to blocked, here, I'll go to blocked domains, what the heck. So we do that. And you can get some kind of ideas. Now, these aren't necessarily all porn or whatever, and there's some advertising sites. There's some, some sites that, as you see this, it's probably hard for you guys to see this anyways. That's there, but it gives you some idea of why, you know, in this case, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them are adware, and one's a dating site, and the other's a lingerie site that it's automatically blocking for me. So that's just one of those family-friendly things I'm going to say, that if you're, you know, and I know in my demographic here that some of you guys, you know, you got kids and you want to do that kind of stuff. I have found OpenDNS to be a pretty good... Pair it with a pfSense router, or put it on your wireless router, your main router coming in, go to the DNS and just change that from, it's probably set to your ISP or something like that, just change that over to their servers. I recommend you create the account. You know, Rich, you'd said you don't need to.
No, I do have one, though, and I like it because of what you said. You can get in there and see what's going on. Just get an idea. It's kind of nice to have.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can't set filtering unless you have an account, so you'll need that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, Other Jim says, when I am nice, I only use the minimal family safety. And that there are, when I go into the networks, let me go back to home and go to the network. I need to go to settings, and I'm going to go to my network. And they have high, which is protects against all adult-related sites, illegal activity, social networking. That's a little tight. Video sharing sites and general time wasters. I like that. General time wasters.
Oh,
in other words, my podcast.
No Angry Birds for you or whatever.
My podcasts are all going to be blocked.
Oh, you think? No.
And then I keep it at moderate, which is adult-related sites and illegal activities, and then 13. There's 13 different categories in there that it looks at, like adware, alcohol, dating, drugs, gambling, hate, weapons, tasteless, lingerie, proxies, proxies.
Actually, I am filtering one thing. I got the tasteless one. Whatever. I can avert my eye for the rest of that stuff, but the tasteless, I don't even want it to.
Yeah. Hey, another Jim makes a good point. He says I've used OpenDNS for a long time on my router. However, it does not follow the laptops when they leave the house. No, it doesn't. It does not. And
so
you can set the laptops manually. Yeah. But you still can set them. You can go into the connection and say, okay, just go to, and I've done that a few times, just go to that same IP. You can do it on your mobile devices if you want to. A little bit of defeating the point, but if you want it done that way, or you can make everybody VPN through your net connection. That would also work if you want to do it that way. I don't know why you would. There's moderate, low, and then custom. God.
This is not the average tech guy doing that. What are you talking about?
No, it's not. Well, you never know.
All right.
You never know. So that is here, and let me show that page real quick here. I'll pop that up. Hold on. I'll pop that up again. You can't see it real well just because of the way it's laid out here, but this gives you an idea of what I'm showing right now. So, and I'm flipped to custom right now, and you've got some things, a whole list of things. And again, you've got to decide on your own what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. Let that be your decision. Let me say none, and then custom. That is stuck. There we go. Okay. So here's the list of items. Then that's currently in custom mode, what I would be blocking. The red ones are part of the high blocked filtering levels. So I think something that's pretty good to use for folks, if you're interested in that.
Let me point out one thing. When you hover over these different categories like games or typo squatting, you'll get a little pop-up and it'll give you a little bit of information about what exactly typo squatting is. So there you go. Misspellings of URLs that people are squatting on, scooped up so they can infect you.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Other Jim said he met Microsoft Family Safety, which is another program in both Windows 7 and Windows 8 that you can set. Another good way to do it. It's like a canine, right? It's at the local level, and you can do some things through that as well. But if you want to protect, if you have that need, there are some really good ways to do that now. Other Jim mentions is Microsoft Family. We've got OpenDNS available to you. I mentioned K9. There are some other programs out there. NetNanny was one of those at a time. Although I tried that. I didn't really like it. Those are the ones I kind of landed on and have worked well for me. We just leave OpenDNS on all the time on the network, and that's the only place we go. So that works for us.
Let me ask you, what do you recommend for a small child? Because I'm thinking of my my granddaughter who's about to turn 4, and she's fine, I mean, pretty much. But, you know, what if mom steps out of the room and she bangs on the keyboard and something that we don't want her to see comes up? What do you recommend? Would you go K9 or would you just... she's got her own account on mom's computer, she's using the limited account, so that's okay with that.
I'd go OpenDNS if I could.
You would?
Yeah. It's been great for me. Yeah, I think for that kind of thing, if you wanted to, if it was a laptop and you wanted to lock it down outside of the network, you know, say it was a 10 or 12 year old that was taking their laptop or whatever, then I think a K9 solution is dynamite, because then you can guarantee when it leaves the house that they're not, or the kids aren't picking up the neighbor's Wi-Fi, and, you know, and hijacking it, right? You could do it. Hey, listen,
sorry,
boys,
Dad, I don't know.
Boys can be industrious. I'm just saying. They will.
Yeah, well, so
ways.
Can girls. Let me tell you from experience. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I mean, so not. That doesn't relate to this, but from a tech and an industrious standpoint, when my Josh, my middle son, was at Kent City Art Institute, they had terrible Wi-Fi in the building, and so he rooted his phone and turned it into a hot, you know, and he was in Kansas City, so he got
4G. What a guy!
Yeah, and then he was streaming, and then his PC was just every day he was tethering. I was getting, you know, 9 and 10 gig. Bills for now. It's unlimited on Sprint, so I was okay.
Oh,
but
okay.
He was pushing 9 to 10 gig every month, which
yeah.
is really nothing now. I mean, I regularly run 600 gig a month out of the house, so it's we do a lot of streaming.
Yeah, don't say that too loud. Your ISP will be knocking on your door.
Other Jim says he had his daughter's netbook locked down for a while. No Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, or other stuff while grades were low. I think that's very appropriate. I think
it's very harsh, man.
Yeah.
Very. Yeah.
No, I think it's a great way. It's
how old was the daughter? Just
know.
Curious.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Other Jim, how old? If you don't mind us asking, I think it's one of those things. It's a parenting decision, right? Every parent.
No,
has to make
I'm joking around. Yeah, I mean, no, I think it's a good idea. I think it really depends, but you know, people do. It's a time waster, as you say. You know, what do you want your kid to be doing? Learning how to, you know, do LOLs on Facebook, or do you want them to actually be outside doing something in the fresh air, you know, for example?
Well, but here's what's ironic, Rich, is that I now at Gallup, I spend a lot of time on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn because it's part of my job. And so, you know, for both recruiting and for Call the Coach.
Well, I kill that whole conversation.
that's the irony in this is we got, those are time wasters.
You can't get around it. You can't get around it.
Well, they're not for me. It's part. I mean, that's how I communicate with our coaches. You know, our strengths coaches, and that's how we advertise through that, and we market through that. And I do. I mean, just during the show today, I had one of our. We're interviewing next Friday. We have a coach, and he pinged me on Facebook during the show. That's how. That's the mode at which we communicate now. So, you know, we talk a lot about Facebook a lot, and we're kind of like, oh, it's just, you know, it's just for goofing around. Well, nah, maybe in the future it's not, you know?
Other Jim says he's got her laptop, I guess, locked down, but when she comes home, she can social network. In other words, when she takes her laptop to school, go to school.
Yeah.
You know, don't go sit in school and do Facebook all day long or whatever.
Right.
I think that's a smart idea.
I do. Yeah. And everybody, you know what, this is one of those things, and this is, I'd go to the wall for this one, is every parent has to parent the way they feel is best, and, you know, you've got to run with, parenting's the hardest job in the world. I've raised 5 kids, and it's the hardest thing I've ever done, and I've spent time in the military, and I've spent time overseas, and I've done some hard things. There is nothing like parenting, and so you've got to make those choices on your own. It's mm-hmm. up to you. To do those kind of things. I learned not to tell people how to parent a long time ago because I've had some successful moments and I've had some successful moments. So.
Yeah. Well, other Jim, don't think I was just kidding.
Yeah. No, you're good, Rich. You're all good. I know you are. Well, Rich, I think this is a good show. Thanks for taking a few minutes tonight. I'm glad we could kind of get reunited with the Amber. I'm glad that came up in a conversation.
Yeah, that was a good show. I'm going to have to listen to that again so I can make some good notes on all of that.
Yeah, no, it was good. It got me re-energized on LastPass, so good stuff. Well, I remind folks, as we head out of the podcast here, Rich and I will stay around for a little bit of a post-show tonight, but don't forget the Tech Scholarship Fund, theaverageguy.tv/Amazon. We talked a bunch about that, so I won't talk about it anymore. We've got some... I'm just going to take a peek ahead at the schedule here for Home Tech. I know... I go in these bursts where I get things scheduled back in December. I got all of January, February, and a good chunk of, I guess through the end of February. Right now, I've actually got Zadler, Schoonover, and Stutzman scheduled to talk about the Gen 8, but we've talked about that so much on the Home Server Show. I'll have to check in with those guys and see if they still want to talk about that, if we're going to do something different. Listen to your request. We're going to do a fitness show at least every other month now, so we'll jump on and talk tech and fitness. That was one of those things that when we dived into that the other day, you guys were like, yeah, this is great. So I'm going to specifically do a fitness show coming up here. It looks like I've got it slated for March 27th, so we'll see how that goes, and we'll look at some guests. The other thing I'm trying to do is get a little more like we did tonight, which is to have a guest up front for the first 30 minutes or so, a guest from the industry. Oh, you know, one of the things I didn't do, Rich, real quick, is I didn't show you the new Power Rocks battery that I got. So let me do this real fast.
This thing.
Okay, so here's the old... This is the old, let me get the screen. Okay, so this is the old battery I bought for CES 3 years ago. It's an Energizer to go. And it's been a good little battery, you know. It's got a little plug-in up here. It's got two USB ports on the front. You can push this and check the battery. It's right now in green status. But I've been traveling with it over the last couple weeks, and it barely charges my phone one time anymore. Right? It's just these things don't last forever. Good little form factor, really handy, but it's getting ready to give up the ghost. So I'm going to take that. This is going to become a recycled item at Best Buy. I'm going to take it to Best Buy here in the next couple of days and drop it off. And so we had Kerry Adams from Battery Rocks on the program just a couple, three or four shows back. And so she talked a little bit about, let's see if I can get that. There's Power Rocks. And she talked about some deals we actually did with Christopher Brown. We talked about the little. They have a little 28 milliamp. I think that's how you say it, milliamp charger. That and they have another one that has a light on the end of it. We talked about that. Chris reviewed it. You can go out to theaverageguy.tv and search for that. Just search for Power Rocks. But she mentioned some deals, and so I've been kind of watching them over the last couple days, and. I got myself, so for $40, I got myself this is called the Power Cube. Power Rocks Power Cube. It's a 9,000 milliamp battery. So this will charge my phone up to 5 times on a single charge. And you can see the package here. I thought I'd do an unboxing. These are terribly not exciting.
Ooh, an unboxing.
Yeah, look at this.
Ooh.
So here's the surprise, right? Here's the old one.
Yeah.
There's the new one.
Oh,
right? Yeah. I mean, so a little bit smaller. I really expected this when I was looking at it online. I expected it to be a lot bigger. I mean, here's my cell phone, right? This is a GS4, right? I mean, it's smaller than the phone.
Oh, okay. So is it as heavy as your old one?
Let me pull it out.
Is it more meaty or?
It is heavy. It's thicker, right?
Oh, okay.
So here we'll show the comparison.
All right.
Between the two.
So you got the same volume.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Trick of eye there. Heavy? Yeah, a little bit heavier. This one's a little bit heavier. I do like the form factor on this one though. So I got the blue one because I like I like the color blue. Yeah. And then it has the. This is what's really cool. So here's the. It's set like this. Then you pop this end off. Right. So you. And inside is built in the charger ports, right? So you don't have to go find them anywhere.
Oh, the other one had detachable?
Yeah, the other one had a crazy, so look at, see the little hole? That's the battery.
It
had, and so I had to carry around this thing, right? Mm-hmm. This was the dongle
for. Oh, well, that's already a big win right there.
Yeah, and then it had two USB.
Yeah.
This one. So I still have to, right, there's no plug on this, so I still have to carry around one of those little small plug into the wall, and then, you know, it goes USB. And then I get a micro on this end for my phone, so I can do it, you know, I can do it that way and get this thing and have it charge up. But it also, on the inside, this is kind of cool.
Is that a metal case?
This?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Well, is it metal? I think it is.
It's yeah. Okay. I was at Jim was wondering. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it feels like brushed metal, right? Mm. Real durable. And then if you look on the inside, there's the USB port on the inside. So if you want to charge it up and then come off of this thing with a secondary charger of some kind, I could charge two phones off of it at the same time. So pretty cool. And then when
How
you're
much?
Done,
much was that?
When you're done, how much? $40.
Okay.
Yeah. And I will throw the link.
Not bad.
Let me, I tell you what, while I'm thinking about it, let me just throw that link out here on to the chat room so you guys can take a peek at it. The what was weird on Amazon as I was buying them is that their different colors are different prices. So it wasn't like, you know, black was cheaper, and then blue was a little bit more, and then red was really I shouldn't say really expensive because they're not, none of them are really expensive, but a few dollars more. So right now, okay, so I got a deal on it. Right now they're priced at $60, but I'll give you the link so you can go out and grab it. Let's see. And did I? Okay, put that in chat. Let me make sure that I have my story straight. Let's see what I paid for it. Your orders.
This thing here says $60, but
yeah, $60 now.
But did you hit?
Let me see what I paid for it.
Yeah,
I think I paid $40. I paid $43.
Okay.
It. So wait for a deal. Right there, that was one of these things. It was, I got it on sale. And then when you're done with the cables, it goes back. This is a nice little box. I'm pretty impressed. Now, I haven't charged it up yet. I just, as you can see, I just pulled it out of the box. And so it even comes with a nice little carrying case that it goes with. See that?
Oh my! Is it felt?
Look, it is felt. It's
well, of course,
it's felt. Right. So put that in there and.
Yeah, because you don't want to scratch up that brushed metal case.
Put it in there if you want to. I'm gonna lose the. Yeah, I'm gonna lose that in like a week. But you know.
Maybe not.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. 9,000 milliamps or whatever that is. Nice little. This will make a handy for me. This will make a great traveling companion. I'm looking forward to having this for sure. In there. So, an unboxing of it from it, and Power Rocks is the name of that. That's the. Oh, yeah, hold on, Rich. Hold that up. What do you got for me? You got a 4 terabyte red drive?
I got a 4 terabyte red drive.
And what?
It was on sale, and I had a $25 rebate on a motherboard that changed prices within 30 days of purchase. So they refunded that. So I landed this for $149, and then I tacked on $4 more so I could get it here sooner from Newegg.
Yeah, so, very nice. Still in the bag.
Still in the bag.
What's it going to go in?
I don't know.
No, you just. I think
it's going to go up here in my little EX495, which is running Windows Server 2011. I think that's the plan.
Okay.
I've been rebuilding my daughter's server. I upgraded it from version 1, and I stuck a couple of 2 terabyte hard drives, which came out of my stock. So, got to replace 2 terabyte. With a 4 terabyte equivalent.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty psyched about this. They run cool. They do actually run cool, actually, which is one of the things I like about them. So,
nice.
Yes. Yeah.
A 4 terabyte hard drive in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. All
it's
right.
going to get filled up pretty quick as soon as I
jam some information on there. Mm-hmm. I like it. Well, we will. So we've got some new toys to work with over the weekend. I'll have to get my battery charger all fired up and ready to go. And Rich, it sounds like you got a hard drive to install. So very good. We want to remind you we're out here every Thursday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 Central, at theaverageguy.tv/live, and we've got lots of good stuff for you. Coming up in the coming weeks, actually, I need to sit down this weekend and schedule some stuff out because it gets thin through March. My schedule has been such, but we'll get some folks. Appreciate you, the listener who comes out or who downloads. There's about 1,000 of you or so who download the podcast every single week and become a part of what we do. Let me really encourage you to join our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/theaverageguy. Come out and join us out there. Join that community. We have we got a couple hundred guys. We've been creeping up on that group over the last couple weeks. I think we're at 195 now. I'd like to kick that over to 200. Some great discussion. It really is a nice place to get some deals. And Kevin Schoonover is really good about posting deals out there, as well as others of you as well. It's just Kevin does more than anybody else out there, even me. And join the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/theaverageguy, and we'd love to have you come out to that as well. And then we'll be back next Thursday. Don't forget the Amazon link. We will see you back. Rich, thanks again for coming out. Stay around for the post show. And Rich, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jim.
Good to have you on. Good night, everybody.